Welcome to The Business Strategist, the show that gives business owners and entrepreneurs game-changing business strategies that can be used in scaling and transforming a business. Sharing deep dive conversations with industry experts, thought leaders and clients facing real challenges and uphill struggles. Brought to you by business strategist, former elite athlete, international speaker and best-selling author, Adam Strong.
Did you know there are only 7% of all UK businesses that actually have a scalable business model? Well, today we're going to be talking a little bit about when to scale your business. At what time in your business cycle is it ready to be able to go from growth to scale? And today, this is what we're going to be talking about. So today, enjoy today's episode. Welcome to The Business Strategist, everyone. I'm super looking forward to today's episode. You know, it's interesting. Being in the scale-up space, I've had numerous conversations with people that are, should we say, stuck. They're a bit frustrated. They have the aspirations to want to be much further on down the line, but they're hitting a bit of a ceiling. And one of the most common things that comes up in conversation is, Adam, when is the right time to go from growth to scale? And so what we're going to be talking about today, ladies and gents, is we're going to be talking about how to avoid the most common pitfalls when it comes to scaling a business. So when is the right time? We're going to be learning about the different common pitfalls. And I'm going to give you five different pitfalls and how to avoid those pitfalls as well. So let's get into today. If you're listening to me live, use the hashtag live, use the hashtag replay. If this is the first time you're listening to me over on the podcast, make sure that you listen to me over on Apple or on Spotify. And you can also follow me over on LinkedIn and hit that bell notification. So let's get into today. So the first thing that we need to look at, And one thing that, and like I said to you, the first most common question I get asked is, hey, Adam, when is it right to scale a business? And it all depends. Every business is different. Everyone will be along in terms of the business cycle at different stages. So there is no right or wrong. There's no framework. There's no secret sauce. There's no magic formula to knowing when the right time is to scale a business. It all depends on circumstances. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you guys five different things that I look for when people say to me, Adam, when is the right time to scale a business? And I'm going to use my own business, but also I'm going to share some of the examples of businesses that we've worked for in the past as well. So the first thing that you look for is revenue, of course. That's a real big driver. One of the most common pitfalls when it comes to revenue is that a lot of businesses, especially in the industry that I'm working in, professional services, is that they're still very much into the whole kind of trade time for pounds type of mindset. But actually, one of the things that I look for in a business when it comes to scalability is it's not just about being able to provide revenue and increasing profit. It's not about that. It's actually being able to identify what are the ways in which you can improve revenue in many different ways, not just trading time for hours. So one of the things that I look for is monthly reoccurring revenue. So what do I mean by that? So this could be things like subscription models. It could mean a membership. It could mean also access to content that you've created. So for example, we're looking at on our podcasting platform is we are going to have a subscription-based model for some of our loyal subscribers over on Spotify. And we're going to have content that we have never published before. In-depth strategies about how to scale a business. So it may take one concept on the podcast, it might be a basic foundational part. And then in the paid subscription part, it would be more around looking at the deeper advanced strategy behind it, okay? So looking at subscriptions, access to content, affiliate marketing as well. So who, what partnerships do you have in place? What affiliate programs do you have in place for your own product? So we're looking at the full picture here, ladies and gents, okay? One of the most common pitfalls is having just one revenue stream and limiting that revenue stream. So you've got to expand the revenue streams before thinking about scaling up. So what are the things that you could do in your own business that you can apply and increase the amount of revenue and profitability without compromising the quality that you deliver to your clients? So that's pitfall number one. Pitfall number two, and this is something that is quite common, actually, especially in the world of, you know, consultancy, in the world of advisory-based businesses, which is effectively productization. So if you've got a product, now, whatever it is that you offer, whether it be accountancy practices, services, whether it be tax advisory, whether it be IP, whether it be law, or anything to do with a service-based business, and you offer a product, one of the most common pitfalls that I find is that the business owner or the founder believes that it's best to just stick to that particular product. Now, the big challenge with that is that even though that might be your bread and butter, the big problem with that is that customers and clients or your potential audience might not be ready to invest in what you have to offer. One of the most common pitfalls that I have found is that we are in the game of trust. And what I mean by that is that people do with business with people that they like, know, and trust. You would have heard of that before, right? But one thing that I have identified is that because people are on different ideologies, like, for example, if someone comes across and discovers you on LinkedIn, for example, on social media, or even in a networking situation, you might have a high ticket item, all right, or consultancy or advisory or something that you can offer to them, but they might not be ready for it, okay, for whatever reason. Could be monetary, could be that they feel like they can just do it themselves. What are the things that could you do to offer them that can help to provide a foundation of trust? What do I mean by that? So Daniel Preci talks about this a lot, which is the product ecosystem. So what gifts do you have in place? What product for prospects do you have in place? Or what I call low-hanging fruit. And then you have your high-ticketed or main packages. And then you have after sales. So what are the things that you could put in place? So, but one thing that I would love to sort of dive into here as well, in particular, if you've got consultancy or advisory, if that's what you offer, rather than kind of just offering that, what could you do to expand your core offering? So let me give an example. We was working with a law firm who effectively did family law. That was their specialism. That was what they were known for in their industry. They got awards for what they did. However, rather than kind of going down deep and really focusing on that channel, diversify and offer a different type of product. And this particular product was something that they had a specialism in, but actually not necessarily related to family law. So then he went into motorsport law. So they offer now two types of product, family law and motorsport law. So that's if you're you run a law firm. Now, if you're a financial advisor, for example, and you offer advice to businesses, how to increase valuation, how to use asset finance, whatever it might be, could you offer some other offering, a product offering that can help those clients achieve their goals even more? Who the core audience that you're speaking to is to think about when it comes to your product offering is to think about how you can go wide rather than just go deep. And this is really important because, again, one of the most common pitfalls is just focusing on one particular product delivery or one service delivery. But actually, if you diversify and take it and extend and have an extension to your product offering, what that can do is it can help open up different avenues and different avenues to what you want to do. So I hope that kind of helps. So that's the second part. So that's the second pitfall. The third pitfall, which again, this is just something that I believe in so badly and is just so not spoken about so much, which is mindset. I could give each and every single one of you guys a strategy for scaling up, right? I'm very confident about that. But if you don't have the mindset of I'm ready for this, or I need to be thinking you had the aspiration of growing into, I don't know, a £3 million business, right? But you were only turning over £500,000, okay? Now, I could give you a strategy about how you could scale up operations to be able to do that, okay? But from a mindset perspective, what I mean by this is that if we don't think the same way that seven-figure business owners or eight-figure business owners think and feel and how they make decisions, okay, then how can we effectively implement the strategy to scale up? We simply can't. It's not physically possible. When I was an athlete and I was effectively running with some of the best runners in the country, my coach would give me a game plan. Running is all about strategy and being able to take it up a gear at the right time. You've got to make sure that your timings are correctly, except it's all a game of strategy. But ultimately, visualization and mindset plays a very important role as well, because without it, it's never going to work. Because if you don't have the belief systems put in place, then you know it's a wasted effort. It's the same for running a business. I want you to think about who is it that you know that runs a business, not necessarily similar, they could be in different industries, but could be that they've already achieved what you've set to achieve. I can guarantee you the way that six-figure business owners think and the way seven or eight-figure business owners think and do things, they do things differently. The way that they think, they do differently as well. What can you learn from those? What can you learn from those founders and CEOs? Look at your LinkedIn profile. Look at your network. Look at who can you seek out that can help give you those breakthroughs, those breakthrough moments. So again, making sure that you're out of this mindset of I can do it all. This is my baby. I was a big fan of Lego. I talk about this a lot on LinkedIn. And I was quite protective of my Lego. So when I built a model, I didn't want anyone to play with it. I just wanted to play with it, okay? I wanted to be able to destroy it. I wanted to be able to remake it. It's a bit like growing a business. If we become too emotionally attached to it, what tends to happen is we tend to find it very difficult to let go of something, let go of the business. Do you know what I mean? And delegate certain activities and certain things that you need to do. And it's no different, right? So mindset plays a very important role. Being able to take a back step and say, okay, how much am I involved in the business operationally? Because what I have found is working with six-figure business owners is that they just cannot walk away from the operational side of the business. You see, your goal as a CEO, as a founder, is to actually work in the future. And you don't necessarily have to have the revenue of a seven or an eight-figure business. But if you think in the future, if you think about how you're going to manage your time more effectively, how you're going to manage your team, how you're going to build your team, then there's going to be a real, real shift from that. So that is mindset. Next thing, which plays a very important part. This is just something that I look for in a business. I ask businesses to look at capacity. So if you look at your own business, like how much capacity or how much can you take on as a business, whether it be a solopreneur, whether it be you're a small team and you have a team of four or whatever it is, how much is your capacity? What does that look like? So is it the fact that you only can take on, say, I don't know, 50 clients in a year? Is it the fact that you can only take between I don't know, 80 to 100 clients a year? What is the capacity of your business? So, and the way to work that out really is to think about how much time does it cost? How much time does it take to service a particular client? Now, if you're an accountant, for example, you'll know roughly that if you are working with a limited company, you'll know roughly that if they're VAT registered, it takes X amount of time to sort out their books on an annual basis. It also you'll know roughly about how much time it takes to do VAT returns. You know roughly how much time it takes to do personal returns and things like that. So just say, for example, it took 2 days of your time to do one limited company account. So if you're an accountant, how many clients can you physically take on before you're completely full? So you've got to work out the capacity of your business, all right? Okay. So what is your capacity? Once you've worked out your capacity, once you've worked out your capacity is then to think about how can you increase that capacity? Is it by employing others? Is it by putting in certain systems and processes in place? So what are the things that can you do to identify ways to increase that capacity? If you don't know your capacity, you've got to work it out. Right? How much time does it take to serve as a client? In a nutshell, where are we going as a team? So we've looked at revenue, we've looked at product, we've looked at mindset, we've looked at capacity. And the last thing, which is so important, is culture. So one of the most common pitfalls that I have found is that a lot of business owners and founders haven't really thought about the type of culture that they want to create. Okay. And I feel like if you run a small team or you are on your own, it's to put things in place. Okay. It's to put things in place and to think to yourself, okay, what is the type of team culture that I want? You know, what are the values that we have as part of the business? What types of behaviors, what types of things, what's important to the business? What's the legacy that we want to create? So thinking about the type of culture that you want to create, what types of leaders that you want to have in place, what types of personalities that you need to have in the business. And again, these are just crucial questions that you need to think about when it comes to avoiding some of those common pitfalls. So let's just summarize what we've talked about today. So we've been talking about how to avoid the most common pitfalls when it comes to the learning of scaling a business. So we talked a little bit about revenue. So we look at revenue and what are the opportunities to improve different revenue streams. So we look at revenue, or MRR, monthly recurring revenue streams. We talked about product. So what can you do to effectively increase or improve your product offering? It might be, for example, that you can offer something of extra value to your clients that complements what you currently do, and things like that. So that's the second thing, is product. Thirdly, mindset. We talked a lot about the importance of mindset. Some of the clients that I work with understand that in order for them to be able to move forward and make improvements, is that you've got to think like a 7 or 8 figure business owner. So if you aspire to become a 7 or 8 figure business owner, then guess what? You've got to think like a 7 to 8 figure business owner, because the mindset that you have created right now is not going to serve for the expedition or the mountain climb to get to the summit. I use this a lot. So if you've got a mountain, for example, the tools and resources that got you to halfway, say at Mount Everest Base Camp, is not going to serve you to get to the summit. What are the resources that you need in order to help you to get to the summit, whatever the summit looks like to you? Okay. Fourth one, I talked about capacity and learning about the importance of what capacity is and how much capacity can you take on. And number five, culture. What's the culture that you want to create in order to effectively scale the business? So what does culture mean to you? What leadership styles that you want to put in? What personalities can you bring into the business that helps complement and service your clients? So I hope this has kind of given you some epiphanies, some aha moments. And if this has been very useful to you, feel free to reach out to me, of course. It's hello. Make sure you check out me out on Apple or Spotify if you're not listening to this, of course. And connect with me on LinkedIn as well. I'd love to hear from you guys and hit that bell for notification. Anyway, from me, Adam Strong, hope you've enjoyed today's episode. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Business Strategist with Adam Strong. Follow Adam on LinkedIn, YouTube, and adamstrong.net. Leave a review on Apple or Spotify.